that.
Yeah, that's good.
Wake up, America.
Wake up, America!
Wake up, America.
It's time for Michael Dean After Dark. I'm your host, Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, and this is the Late Night Feisty Liberty Show. We have a rotating stable of interesting insomniac co-hosts. Plus, we leave the phone lines open. So if the hamster in your brain is keeping you up, please call in.
That's right. Please call in. This is Mr. Michael Dean. Hold your kitties tight. Not too tight, though. Hold your kitties tight and pet them, because it's a cold night here in Wyoming. It's been snowing on and off. Outside the windowless bunker that I'm flying over in Airworm 1. And over in the lush tropics of the Hindu Kush, we have Mr. Bill Bupert. How you doing, Bill?
Greetings. It's a great evening, and I'm really happy to be here. And also, I get to see Michael Dean in the flesh at Porkfest.
Yeah,
2014.
Yep, I'm going to be there. And I'm in a really cranky mood. I'm in a better mood now that I've been talking to my friend Bill, because he is always a very positive person. I fear the day that Bill gets mad at me, although I think it would be very calm. And, you know, if you're my friend, eventually you're going to get mad at me, because I'm kind of like that. You know, I'm kind of like I kind of have Tourette's of the emotions, and Bill will learn that in person. I'm just warning
you. Even in the most arduous circumstances, I'm possessed of a certain sprezzatura.
Of a sprezzatura?
Sprezzatura.
What's
that? It's an elegant Italian phrase for grace under pressure and calm.
for being calm when someone is throwing live skunks at your house.
Or live rounds, yes.
That was a term that Stephanie Murphy came up with. Some caller used that the other day, saying, you know, like, how would people deal with this in the absence of a government, of like annoyances that aren't like really violent but are kind of really annoying? And her example was someone throwing live skunks at your house. I really like that image.
I just think it's cruel.
Yeah, I think it would be more of an animal abuse issue than a skunk abuse. Well, I don't know, man. Skunks are horrid. So if you want to call in, the number is 1-855-660-4261. That's 1-855-660-4261. If the hamster in your brain is keeping you up, or you can call in on Skype at kittyfeet1, like the feet of a cat, KittyFeet1, number one, numeral one. And I'm too tired to do that. I'm not tired. Bill, will you do that in NATO for me? Kilo.
You mean as far as the time or?
No, kitty feet.
Oh, kitty feet. Yeah, kitty would be kilo, India, tango, tango, Yankee, foxtrot, echo, tango.
Tango. Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, I can do that. See, the thing is, I could do that. I know the alphabet as well as former military men like Bill, but I can't spell as well, so I have to spell it in my head and then translate it. So,
You know what? It's like military time, Michael. It's used in Europe everywhere, and it makes more sense. Like,
oh, I know.
Right now, where I live, it is now 2209.
So you're not really in the Hindu Kush, then.
I'm not really in the Hindu Kush. You were making that up.
I was, but you're somewhere that looks like it from a distance and kind of might have similar weather, maybe.
You know what's interesting enough is that there are parts of eastern and western Afghanistan that look not only like Montana, but also southern Arizona.
And some of them look more like Wyoming, because Montana is a little nicer than Wyoming in a lot of places. And, well, Wyoming is also the left side of the state. The west side of the state, where the leftists live, where the leftists and Bill Cheney live around Jackson, is beautiful and lush. And the right side of the state, where I live and a lot of the Free State Wyoming people live, pretty much looks like the moon with sagebrush, you know.
And that's Dick Cheney, not Bill Cheney. And there's no more appropriate first name for the man.
Who's Bill Cheney?
You just said that.
Did I say Bill Cheney? Well,
you did. It's the Novocaine. It hasn't worn off yet.
It's the lack of drugs. Really, it's like, I think they should just give you a little bag of heroin for showing up at the dentist. When you leave, instead of giving you a lollipop like my dentist.
I think that would be incentive for cleanings.
Yeah. Well, I spent 90 minutes in two different dentist chairs today at the dentist's office, and it was they gave me Novocaine. It was basically a form of rape that I was consenting to. Hang on, we got someone calling in here. Hey, who's on? Who's on?
This is Mark from Canada. You probably know me and emailed you from time to time. Oh, yeah, you know.
Hey, is Bill still on there? I got to learn to do that, man. Let's get Bill back. All right, hang on a sec. I'll get Bill back.
I called to talk to him.
Come on. Add to group call. Do we got you there, Bill?
I am right here.
Okay. And we got Mark from Canada.
Hello, Bill. Can you hear me?
Mark from Absurdistan. Welcome aboard.
Absurdistan. That's good. I like that one.
Cool. Before I ask you what you're calling about, let me finish talking about my dental rape today. And do you got some time, Mark? You're a smart guy.
Yeah, me smart.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. I'll keep you on for a little while. I'll just be the board op for you guys, and you guys can talk. So let me finish about why I don't feel like yakking, but the show must go on. You know, it takes a lot to make Michael Dean not want to talk, and I guess I shouldn't put this out there because they'll probably use this against me too. No, I don't even want to go there. But yeah, I was in the dental chair for 90 minutes today and had a really invasive cleaning, and then had a bunch of x-rays, and then got poked around in my teeth a lot, then got a filling that was really intrusive. It was they propped my mouth open in some sort of like Nazi bondage thing, and it was two really beautiful blonde women doing this to me, so it really did kind of have a Nazi overtone, not in a way that's not a kink I dig. So yeah, it was these two blonde women like basically propping my mouth open. I've never had that done before. Like they put like basically almost a chalk of wood on one side of my mouth. It was like some plastic thing was 2 inches by 2 inches, and they just propped my mouth open and just had at it and didn't do the suction enough. So it kind of felt like waterboarding. And then they told me that I need periodontal work, which I've known. I've had a bunch of it in the past. It's got to do with drugs they gave me as a little kid that messed my teeth up. They grew in discolored and not great gum wise. It was tetracycline. So if you ever believe that when people say the FDA would protect you from drugs that harm you, this was an FDA approved drug. It's still an FDA approved drug, but it's not approved for little kids and pregnant women. And I was given it as a really little kid before my teeth grew in, and they grew in kind of discolored and got darker. So my teeth are basically black. So I've learned to smile with my mouth shut. I don't want to get the whitening because it's about $15,000. But beyond that, which I don't have, but I've had it at points in my life, but I've been like, I don't really want to do that because it basically involves grinding your teeth down and then putting coverings on them. And I don't want that. So I've just, my when you see my black teeth, that's the government's fault. So my smile is proof of the government being horrid, and it weakened my gums. So basically it's got to the point, I'm about to turn 50, and my front two bottom teeth are going to fall out unless I get a bunch of uninsured, expensive periodontal work, which I'm not sure I'd want to do even if it were free, because basically it involves grafts, which basically means taking stuff out of the heads of dead people and putting it into my head. So I'm not real psyched about that. So that's my mood today, was dental rape, and then the finding out the revelation that I need to have parts of dead people stuffed into my mouth to save my teeth. So how you doing, Mark?
Well, I'm doing better than that. I've had less than enjoyable trips to the dentist myself, but no, I can't say I've ever had the news that we need to put bits of dead people into you. I did not know that what periodontal meant. No, I did not know that.
Yeah, so you sound really good. What kind of microphone are you using?
I'm using the Audio-Technica, the Mr. Microphone that you've recommended, the USB.
Yeah, it should... Audio-Technica, it should just call that the Michael Dean After Dark microphone, because I think I've sold about 25 of them for them, at least. I mean, I've sold 25 of them through my Amazon affiliate link, and then I wrote an article for Talkers Magazine and then referenced it in another article about Talkers Magazine. And I know Bill's using one, and I know that all of the co-hosts on Michael Dean After Dark, except Dr. Stephanie Murphy, who is a professional voiceover person who has, you know, kind of stuff more like what I've got. So what's on your mind today, Mark from Canada?
Well, the hamster in my brain got this fit of insomnia. Normally, I'm asleep at this point, but well, here I am. I just happened to be up. I looked at the time and realized, oh, hang on. I know what's coming on. So I just thought I'd stick my nose in the door and say hi.
Did you nap and get up, or did you just stay up?
Oh, I was asleep and just kind of tossing and turning and couldn't sleep. And yeah, well, I don't get insomnia much, but here I am.
Ask Bill something.
Ah, yes, good idea. Hello, Bill.
Hey, Mark.
Yes, I'm the guy who had a couple emails back and forth with you a little while ago, if you recall.
I remember that, and I also remember talking to you on another show, I think.
No, that wouldn't have been me.
Bill's a very popular guy.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, interact with all sorts of people.
See, Bill, well, Bill, you should have just kept it at, yes, I remember. That's how a movie star would have done it.
Indeed.
Yeah, I remember you. Of course. Of course I remember you. Not, I remember you at a specific location you probably weren't at, and we'll go, oh, he's confusing me with one of his other many adoring fans.
Yeah, it's a movie star or a politician would do that.
Yeah. So what's on your mind, Mark?
Well, I know this isn't normally where you like to go with this show, but...
Are you going to bring up tyranny?
Well, it kind of...
If it's Canadian tyranny, I'll make an exception. Because that's kind of like tyranny light, isn't it?
You could say that. Well, let me put it this way. South Park goes, hey, buddy, this is how we talk naturally. But that can be annoying, so I'll put on my fake American accent to sound a little less annoying.
You sound really American. Ethan sound really Canadian to me, but I think they kind of play it up, but I think they really do sound Canadian, but you sound very American to me.
I've spent a lot of time on the road in the United States, and people are usually surprised when I tell them. Again, I guess they expect me to talk like Terrence and Phillip, suppose.
Hey, buddy. Do you say a boot? Or have you
No.
No. Have you like gotten language tapes to get that out of you?
Yeah, I get tased every time I say a boot. I'm not quite sure where that stereotype comes from. Maybe it's a sort of an Eastern thing where parts of Eastern Canada that border on Maine.
Well, we're going to a break here. Do you want to stick around over the break?
Yeah, I could do that.
Cool, man. This is Michael Dean After Dark, taking a trip to the market. Taking a long-haul truck trip to the market.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com. This is Michael Dean After Dark. It's After Dark, and this is the Feisty Liberty Show for those of you who are still awake, because there's a hamster in your brain. And we have a rule on this show, and it's no tyranny. This is the there's a million other shows that talk about tyranny. They do it really well, and they kind of overstimulate your limbic system and make you go, and you can't sleep. And you know, you can change the channel if you want to go listen to that. So I'm challenging Bill Buport, because Bill, his whole ballywick is tyranny. He just lives to talk about tyranny, and he's better at it than almost anyone out there. But I kind of figure why do that? Why get the guy that's known for the thing he's doing? That's not going to be different in an interesting way. It's kind of like if you had the world karate champion and you wanted to have an exhibition, you could have that karate guy up there just beating up other black belts all day long. It's not that interesting. I think it'd be more interesting if you
tie both of his hands behind the back and then have him fight nuns or something, which is kind of like what we're doing with this show. We're tying Bill's hands behind his back and having him fight nuns, because that's a lot more interesting, because, you know, it might go on a few more a few seconds longer. So Bill wants to talk about what makes a good soundtrack, and I'm going to say one thing up front here. Soundtracks, I have some audio advice about background music, which is different from soundtracks. But most people, when they make media, they don't realize that any music that has speaking or talking in it makes really bad background music under speaking. It obscures the legibility, the intelligibility of what the actors or documentary interviewees are saying. So if you're making media, use music that doesn't have talking in it under talking. And the best music to put under talking is trip hop, you know, because hip hop is basically, it's all the same dynamic. And you want to have music that doesn't have a lot of dynamics in it for background music. And hip hop is made for rapping over, but trip hop is a little softer. So trip hop, kind of stony hip hop music, is the best music to put under talking in a documentary or drama. So you guys go ahead and talk about what makes a good soundtrack, which is a different thing than background music.
Well, with that, I'm a big fan of classical music and opera, and I have a pretty large collection. I did have it on CDs, and I've since transferred it to MP3s. And I think that soundtrack music, Hans Zimmer, John Williams, and some of the other greats that we've heard in the last 50 years, and you can go back further than that and find some really great soundtracks, like the soundtrack to the 1962 film Lawrence of Arabia, which was done by a jazz artist, I think, which is one of the best ever made. Not only does it enhance a movie and stick with you after the movie, but as writers and artists, which the three of us are, and a lot of your audience may be, it's great stuff to trip on or concentrate with while you're doing your craft, whether it's writing or sculpture or whatever the case may be. So I look out for great soundtracks, and I tend to like epic soundtracks more than anything else. It's interesting what you said about vocals, but I find some exceptions to that. I really dig world music, and what I found, Peter Gabriel did what's called the Passion. That's the name of the album. It's the soundtrack to The Passion of the Christ or The Last Will and Testament of Christ. I get it confused. But that music, that music is probably
Last Will and Testament of Christ. It's called The Last Temptation of Christ.
The last
Will and Testament. Who was Jesus's attorney? I want to know for his last will and testament.
I don't know. He most likely had a Jewish attorney, though, if he had one. Yep. But nonetheless, I find The Passion is probably my go-to album for really tripping on when I'm writing. It's something that I really enjoy and groove into to get my creative juices flowing. The Last Samurai, Braveheart. And you were talking about vocalization. There's significant vocalization on the Passion soundtrack that's really good. And you find this woman, her name is Lisa Gerrard. And I think she's certifiably insane because I watched a documentary on her. And she was in this most interesting band I dug called Dead Can Dance, which is now defunct. And then she went on her own to do soundtracks and things like that.
Well, Dead Can Dance, wasn't a lot of their singing in Welsh and kind of atonal and not really about the lyrics? It was more like another instrument.
You know, it certainly was much like a Farron, you know, a Bobby McFerrin or somebody who would scat in jazz. But Gerrard prides herself on saying that the language that she employs in her music is nonsensical. I mean, it's something that's made up in her own insane pea pot.
We'll be back with more on soundtracks. You know, I had a friend that was in the Army, and the Army lost all his vinyl records and paid him like a dollar each for them. And he had thousands of them, and and it was a great collection. He has this story of like some grunt going through like, oh, Dead Can Dance. No, they can't. And throwing it away.
You are destined to be listening to this show, Michael Dean After Dark, on this very night. Thank you for arriving. You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Yeah, clear the throat. Clear the mind. This is the radio teaching hospital known as Michael Dean After Dark. One of the great things about doing radio, one of the things that makes you great is having a show clock and keeping an eye on the show clock. So you go out and come back very well. I did not do that in the last break. I tried to rush something, and I wanted to show that and point it out as a bad example. I was talking about the band Dead Can Dance, and I had a friend that was in the Army, in the U.S. Army, and he was traveling, and they lost all his vinyl records, and they paid him $1 a piece for them, and he had, like, first pressings of Misfits and first pressings of Dead Can Dance and things like that, and they're worth a lot more than a dollar. Not just that, but the sentimental value of he had built this library of music. And he used to tell this story. He envisioned some private somewhere who, wherever his records ended up, going through them and looking at them and saying, "Dead Can Dance? No, they can't," and tossing it in the dumpster. So I had a couple more thoughts on soundtrack. One is, I never really I think soundtracks are very important to the feel of a movie, but I've never listened to a soundtrack because I kind of never really liked having someone program music for me in that way, and never really felt that soundtracks worked as a piece outside of the movie. And Bill has found different and has found some that are very meaningful and strong to him. I also find that I like a lot of soundtracks where music is composed specifically for the movie rather than there are some songs that are such cliches that they're almost shorthand for lazy writing. And one is, using Wagner for the army going into battle, whether it's an actual army or a people going into some kind of emotional battle. And the other is using the song Wonderful World. I see at night, da, da, da. That one, the jazz tune. Who is that?
That's Louis Armstrong.
Yeah, it's Louis Armstrong, yep. Who's mainly known, yep, as an instrumentalist, but he sang on that song, and it's a beautiful song, and it's heart-wrenching, and it's tragic and beautiful and redemptive all at the same time. And it's used so much as a cliche in that way. It probably started with the movie Good Morning Vietnam, but it's used, also you have to know that the people that own the publishing companies that own the rights to use music work in conjunction with and often are owned by the same companies that make the movies. So they tend to just shove like Warner Chappell publishing songs into Warner Brothers movies, things like that. And sometimes there's like a money thing involved. Like, yes, we need to push that one song into as many movies as possible, to the point where I was watching the show House, which is, I called recently for, hey, I'm really sick of watching the same shows over and over. Anyone have suggestions for things I can watch streaming on Netflix? And I had a bunch of criteria, like no magic, takes place in the present time or thereabouts, small ensemble cast, funny but kind of good drama at the same time, and there has to be at least 7 or 8 seasons of it, so I can just, when I get addicted, can just watch it for weeks. And House was one of the recommendations, and I thank whoever gave me that, and I've been watching it and digging it. But there was this episode. Ick. Who said ick?
I said ick.
Yeah, whatever. I think Bill has a problem with lowbrow media, but we can get to that later. But
that's not true. I have a problem with House because House is like a Kenny G album. If you own one, you own them
all.
Oh,
yeah, because basically what I've learned from House is that, A, homeless people and poor people get medical treatment by the best doctors in the country, at least in New Jersey. And B, if you go into a hospital, you're going to have 2 or 3 major, bizarre, rare illnesses that and that they're going to try to treat you for one. And when that nearly kills you, they'll treat you for another until they fix you.
But I highly recommend Dexter instead of House.
Okay. I'll check that out. I'll add that I'm adding that to my list right now.
Yeah,
Dexter. So, they had an episode of House where there was a a black jazz musician who was really hot, and he was, people loved him, and like, you know, he lost his ability to play, but they saved his life, and he gave his horn at the end to House and said, sell this or give it to somebody. I don't need it anymore, but thank you for saving my life. And I was like, okay, cue Wonderful World. And then they started playing Wonderful World. I knew it. I knew that was how that show was going to end. That's such a cliche. So I don't like cliched use of music in soundtracks, to where it's like shorthand, where it's building block writing and producing. But I do like soundtracks of stunning, stirring movies that are composed largely for it. Now, you know what's interesting? There is a soundtrack album that sold a lot of copies for a movie that has no music in it. Do you know what that is and how they did it?
I do not.
It is Blair Witch Project. There is no soundtrack in that movie, which is one of the reasons I like that movie, because I don't like horror movies where – I don't generally like horror movies, but when I do, I like ones that don't have a lot of blood or violence, but more psychodrama and just like what's going to happen next kind of stuff. Like the scariest thing in that whole movie is, you know, they find like some hair and a tooth. And the scariest thing in the movie Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer, it's about a murderer, but there's very little actual murder shown in it. The scariest thing in that whole movie is Henry sitting at a table in someone's kitchen talking to somebody. And one of the scariest things in the movie Requiem for a Dream, which is a horror movie where the drug is the monster, the scariest scene in that movie is the mother and the son sitting in the kitchen talking, and she's like talking to a third person who's not there. It's her husband. You know, she's so out of it. He's still talking to her dead husband as if he's sitting at the table.
Well, you know, it's sort of like Tarantino placing the scene for the first 20 minutes of Inglourious Basterds with that fabulous actor whose name I don't recall.
Yeah.
Who's playing the Nazi colonel.
His stuff and is ultra violent.
That's just
violent,
great conversation.
Though. His stuff can be ultra violent. He also invented something which has been imitated a lot, is the cheeseburger conversation from Pulp Fiction. Basically, like, yes, putting conversations in that have nothing to do to drive the plot forward, that are just the way people actually talk and making it kind of funny. He invented that in modern cinema. And because generally the rule in screenwriting is you don't put in any dialogue that doesn't drive the plot forward. And he was like, yeah, but people actually talk about things that don't drive the plot forward. So he put that in. He does it really well, and it's imitated. But Blair Witch Project, I like as a horror movie because it it doesn't have the what I call the "here comes the monster" music. Horror always has music that's like, you know, when someone's about to die, because there's some foreboding music of some kind, and it's usually kind of quiet at first, and it tells you here comes the monster. There's no music in Blair Witch Project. The only music in that whole movie is when they're driving in the car to go out to the woods. There's about 30 seconds of they're playing a cassette, you know, of some like pop punk rock music. So they needed – that movie was so incredibly successful. They were like, well, we need to make a soundtrack. So they made a soundtrack record that included that song that they play for 30 seconds in the background. It's not even really – you know, it's incidental music. It's not movie music. And then they called the soundtrack record Josh's mixtape. Josh is the guy driving the car, and he's the first one to die in the woods. And they just got a bunch of spooky death rock music that actually that guy, I know that guy, he was my neighbor down the street in LA. I saw him all the time and talked to him. He would never listen to this music, but they made a record of like spooky death rock music, like Bela Lugosi Is Dead by Bauhaus and things like that. Third Eye, and said it was, they made a story up of it. It's what the police found in his cassette player when they found the car before they found their dead bodies.
Yeah, I don't find horror soundtracks too inspiring, with the exception of John Carpenter's The Thing, which can really get in your mind and almost form a musical neurological rut. But like The Last Samurai, the soundtrack to Battlestar Galactica by Bear McCreary, which is very dynamic and percussion-driven. You know, there's a lot of great soundtracks out there that I use for working with.
John Williams is kind of the like Led Zeppelin of soundtrack writing. You know, he's the man.
Like Hans Zimmer.
Yeah. And there's a story that I've heard that who's the director of Jaws? It's Spielberg, right?
Yes.
That Williams was late in writing soundtrack, even writing anything for Jaws. And he went over, Spielberg called him over to Spielberg's mansion, like, hey, I need to talk to you. This music's late. We're getting, this movie's almost done. And John Williams came over to his house and he's like, oh, I've got it. It's all here in my head. And he's like, well, sit down at the piano and play it. And he sat down at the piano and played those two notes. Dun, 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 dun. And Spielberg thought he was kidding. But that became one of the most iconic soundtracks ever. You know, you hear two repetitions of those two notes, and you're like, Jaws. Yeah, it's Jaws. Yeah.
Which is a fantastic soundtrack in itself.
Yeah. So what else do you like to listen to when you're working? I don't like to listen to music when I'm working, which is weird for a guy who's done music his whole life. But
Ironically enough, as much as I hate urban America, I listen to WBGO out of New York because I find it's one of the best streaming jazz stations out there.
As much as I hate New York, you hate urban America, but you like to stream a tiny bit of a controlled amount of it through a soda straw into your house at times.
I do. You know, if I use political orientation to judge what music I listen to, I'd own 3 CDs, Michael.
Yeah, I said that about – I paraphrased you on that about software the other day because somebody wanted people to boycott Firefox because the CEO, before he worked for that company, was outspoken against gay rights. And I'm like, really? This is entering software now? Like, software is a tool. Like, I'm not going to throw away my crescent wrenches if I find out that, the head of the crescent wrench company worked for Barack Obama or something in the past.
That's so interesting. I'm opposed to gay marriage.
Well, I'm opposed to legalized licensing of marriage of anything. Is that your take on it?
That's my take on it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't care. I don't care about the politics of software. I care a lot more about which software companies are spying on me and turning it over to the U.S. government.
Well, that would be all of them, except for the ones that resign, like LavaSoft.
Yeah. Hey, Mark.
Yes.
I just remembered there's someone else in this conversation. You've been a fly on the wall. What are you thinking about all this? You got any comments?
I remember I saw the Blair Witch Project. And there's no music on it.
You said, yeah, you sounded Canadian there. You said project.
Oh, well, it's a boot time.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so I remember seeing that movie, and I just found it out. Then I heard there was a soundtrack, and I thought, what? There was no music to that. And I paid no attention to it beyond that.
Was that movie a hit in Canada, too?
Somewhat, yeah. So with varying criticism. I can't say I really liked it too much. There are some people who raved about it, and others said, meh, whatever.
It inspired a lot of no-budget filmmakers because it was almost a no-budget film, and it was the most successful independent film of all time. It's also very cinema verite, literally. It's like, it's supposed to it's a mockumentary. It's supposed to be documentary filmmakers, and the story is the film and video and recordings were found a year later after they were killed. And it's very real. It's not acting. It doesn't feel like acting. Which is, I kind of like life imitating art and art imitating life. We'll be back with more with Mark Schissler on the Bill Buepert Show when we get back from this trip to the free market.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, the invigorating alternative to those other late night shows.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Yes. Pet your kitty cats well. This is Mr. Michael Dean on the free. I almost said Freedom Fiends, then I almost said Free Talk Live. Freedom Fiends is my weekend show. Free Talk Live is not a show I'm on. I've said Free Talk Live by mistake because I listen to them so much. So we're having a contest to help Ben Stone get to Porkfest. He's recovering from a near-death experience of a hospitalization over heart failure, and we're trying to raise some money to get him to Porkfest in style. And if you want to help with that, the last day of the contest, you can help for two more weeks. The Indiegogo goes on for two more weeks, but tomorrow is the last day of the contest, and you can win the same microphone that both of the people on the other end here are using today. Bill and Mark are using these fabulous microphones. It costs about $60 and sound like it's like a $60 recording studio. I mean, you sound great on them. So I've done all the research and found the right mic, and the Freedom Fans are giving one away. And there's no purchase necessary. Just go to badquaker.com. The top post tells you how to win. And it's basically by publicizing, getting Ben Stone some money to get there. So if you also want to help without spending a post-1964 dime, you can help Liberty, the Freedom Fiends, and Michael Dean After Dark and all our movie projects by becoming a torrenter, which doesn't cost anything. And you can set it up to torrent our stuff while you're asleep or while you're at work, so it doesn't cut into your internet pipe time. And we have a guy who does that for us, who uploads it automatically, so the new episodes will download into the separate RSS feed into your torrent client and download the new ones and have them there to seed for people. That keeps us drone-proof. Basically, if enough people are doing that, if I get murdered by the government and Nima gets, just decides to give up because he wants to spare his family from getting murdered by the government, then this stuff will be around forever because you can't stop it. You know, Bitcoin is adopted from protocols from BitTorrent, and BitTorrent is kind of not as sexy anymore. People don't talk about it as much, but it's a good thing and it's really easy to use. So our torrent master, Sean Diwali, misheard something I said on here one time on the Freedom Fiends, not on Michael Dean After Dark. But I said, you know, somebody asked me, what guns do you have? And I kind of feel like that's none of the internet's business and none of the radio audience's business. I probably got some guns. I'm a gun guy. I like guns. I mean, I'm not really a gun guy. I'm a gun guy in the same way I own a chainsaw. So am I a chainsaw guy? I don't know. But, you know, I like tools. But I feel like the way you register your guns these days is you mention them on the air or on the internet or in an email. So I responded, I lost my guns in a boating accident. And Sean Diwali misheard me and thought I said a voting accident. So that's kind of been our running joke of, I voted and lost my gun rights. It doesn't matter who you voted for. So, Bill, have you lost your guns in a voting accident?
No, but the people in Connecticut lost their guns through a voting accident because they voted for the same totalitarians.
Mark, didn't Canada basically lose all their gun rights in a voting accident?
Well, the gun rights in Canada, it's an interesting question. It's enshrined in your constitution as the Second Amendment. It shall not be infringed. Well, that seems to have an awful lot of infringement on it. It's not in our constitution. So it's a question of what do the masters allow us to do? And one thing in the U.S. is, from what I understand, they seem to vary from one state to another, whereas in Canada, it's much more a federal thing.
It's all pretty much like California, huh?
You can own
a gun, but it's not very easy, and you have to register it, and you have to jump through hoops, and you have restrictions on mag capacity and things, right?
That's correct, yes. 10 rounds max. California gun laws would probably be an improvement.
Wow.
For here, for here, there's a lot of people who hunt, so for, say, a rifle or a shotgun, it's not so bad. You can I can have it in the back of my car. Like, they want it locked up, like a trigger lock, your ammo in a separate case.
You know, that's really bizarre to me that long guns aren't as looked down upon by law people in America. And, you know, they're kind of getting around to it by looking at what's called so-called assault weapons. But, a deer rifle, a bolt-action deer rifle, is a bigger threat to a tyrant than a bunch of handguns. Isn't that true, Bill?
Well, that's certainly the case in Afghanistan with the Lee Enfield 303s that are over 100 years old.
Yep. We'll be back with more in hour two of Michael Dean After Dark.
Go to michaelwdean.com. That's michaelwdean.com.
Good evening, my fellow
worms. I know some things.
I'll be back with more later on.
I'm never satisfied.
This is Michael Dean After Dark.
L'estato sperimentato.
The United States government presents
no vision.
Not having enough money.
The power was so great.
Esto por su parte considera
to provide guidance to mankind.
Go to michaelwdean.com for more. That's michaelwdean.com. We'll be back for hour two after this trip to the market on Michael Dean After Dark.
Bye for now.
Meowbit is free software from the Freedom Fiends that allows you to effortlessly view .bit websites. Meowbit works on all browsers. .bit is a new type of web address that's not controlled by any government or corporation. And we'll show you how to register a .bit domain today using a few cents worth of Namecoin. If anyone ever shuts down your .com website, users will still be able to get to your site using your .bit address and our free software, Meowbit. Go to meowbit.com. That's meowbit.com.
Michael Dean. Pet your kitty cats sweetly. It's way after dark, and if it gets too scary, your kitty cats and your loved ones and your humans and your puppies will help keep you sane. I hit the cuss dump too early. I was trying to multitask. Yes, that sound right there. Board op, Nathan. Randy. Please let me know if that's the sound you were talking about. I got a note from our board op saying, I'm hearing some notification noise in the background. Like normally that's like, oh no, that's bad radio. But you know what? This is a teaching hospital, and it's also the radio show that basically sounds incredibly good, but it sounds like a bunch of people just sitting around talking. And you know, when you're just sitting around talking, your email notification might go off. So it's kind of our vibe. It has to be explained. But I figure if you sound as good as you possibly can, it's okay to have little weird things. It's kind of like, I don't know, man, I feel like this is the radio of the future. So I called Bill Biebert. I called Bill Biebert the other day on the phone. Yeah, I know his phone number. I'm that cool. So I called him on the phone, and he answers the phone like this, speak. And I was like, excuse me? I don't know. It kind of reminded me of a Henry Rollins vibe or something, like no nonsense, just down to earth. Like down to the brass tacks, down to like, yes, you're on the phone. Obviously you want to speak. I'm telling you, you may speak. So Bill answers the phone, speak.
It saves a step when you do that.
Yeah, it really does. You know, it just gets rid of the dance and just gets down to the action. So,
and hello can betray you as a metrosexual at times. So
how, I like speak. You mean how you say hello?
Exactly. It's like, you know, the many variations of saying dude.
Well, yeah, or if you say ahoy hoy, they know that you're at least 100 years old. So, so Bill, speak.
Concerning guns, we're going to talk about guns.
Bill and Mark, speak.
What guns work and what guns don't work. And this is all completely subjective experience. Mark's going to chime in with me on this. My gun preferences happen to be in both long gun and sidearm, practical, tactical. I don't have any vision of having collectible firearms, of having an African safari double rifle that'll set me back $12,000 to $65,000 or anything like that. I've evolved in my gun preferences. In long gun, I've gone from having M14s to FALs, which Michael has also owned. And finally, once the AR platform technology in both 308 and 223 caught up with the 21st century, and I do think it is the best of breed combat weapons platform until plasma rifles come out in the 21st century or the 22nd century, is the AR M4 M16 family of rifles in both 223 and 308. There's some interesting stuff coming out otherwise, like the Israeli Tavor, and no one pays too much attention to what the Japanese and the Chinese do with weaponry. But it's interesting because the Japanese, for instance, have some very sophisticated small arms that don't leave the island of Japan with the SDF.
I have a Japanese rifle. It's a very good rifle for the price I paid for it. especially considering it's from a country where it would not be legal to own. I own
now, yours is an Arisaka, right?
No, I have a Hawa, H-O-W-A, okay. Hawa.
And those are wonderful.
It's like a $500 bolt-action, four-shot, 308 deer rifle that came with a scope for $500. And it is, it's as accurate as I can shoot. You know, I'm not like you in Boston, but yeah, it's pretty.
It's curious because outside of Germany, the Japanese make some of the best glass in the world when it comes to scopes. And more inexpensive glass than, let's say, a Zeiss or a Schmidt und Bender, something like that.
Yeah.
But it's great stuff, but it's very expensive coming out of Germany. Isn't it curious that not only do the Axis powers that were defeated in the war to save Joseph Stalin produce terrific glass, but they produce some of the finest cars in the world?
Yeah, and pretty good budget rifles. Yep.
Yes, they do. Yep. Yes, they do. Now, you know, Japanese rifles for export that are semi-auto or auto loaders, that not many coming out, but of course the Heckler & Koch family that comes out with the 91, the 93, the MP5, MP7 variants, and those kind. Those are first world, first drawer go-to weapons for both the professional tactical guy and guys like the rest of us who simply want to use it so that we're in a peer competitor situation with the tyrants who overlord us.
Yeah, MP5 seem like they're designed by an evil mind to me, because they're handed out to cops all over the world.
Yeah,
and they're not very a little machine gun that fires 9mm bullets in a spray just doesn't seem like it's a very self-defense weapon. It seems like it's for, you know, murdering a bunch of like union people on strike or something, like crowd control.
And you know, the FBI got HK MP5s that were in the 10mm, like the Glock 20. And the 10mm round is quite formidable, much larger than a 45 ACP. And you could put down a bear with it. You know, in the country that you live in, Michael, it would be useful for you. I used to carry Glock 20 when I lived up in Idaho for bear repellent.
I carry a 357 snubby when I'm out in the woods, which I don't know if all five of those would stop a bear, but they would certainly stop almost any human I might encounter.
Certainly. And I'm not a fan of revolvers unless I'm operating under Michael Collins' framework, where I don't want to leave no brass behind. You know, you're riffing off the education program.
Oh, is that going to segue into your topic of great Irish Civil War movies? Why don't what is our Canadian friend?
Have we exhausted guns already?
Have we exhausted Mark already? Is Mark still awake?
Oh, I'm still here.
See, that's a testament to how quiet these mics are when they're not being used, too. So,
what's the name of that microphone, Michael?
The Audio-Technica USB 2005. It's a horrible
available
name for
from
it.
Amazon through Michael's website, and please purchase it through Michael's website.
Well, there's if you go to michaelwdean.com, the website for this show, Michael Dean After Dark, over on the sidebar, there's a picture of this microphone. It's the one that's got the little LED light on it, and it says, buy the great cheap mic our co-hosts use. So you can go right there and get it.
Indeed.
It's a horrible name for the mic, because the model number is 2005. This mic came out last year. It sounds like an old mic, like a 2005 mic, but it's not.
That was my thought when I heard the name.
Yeah.
You know, back to guns, I'm looking forward to the Chinese Type 95 and 97s being available in the U.S. through export, and giving that 5.8 by 42 millimeter a try, and because I say it's superior to the ballistics of the 5.56 NATO.
Mark?
For a while, I actually owned a Chinese Norinco, it's called. Not a very Chinese-sounding name. Bought it from a friend of mine at work who introduced me to firearms. And it's a knockoff of ACP. And for budget, it actually works astonishingly well. Right out of the box, they were a little bit rough. They tended to miss feed and jam. But if you spend a little bit of time and file off some rough edges, and if you get some better magazines, I could do groups just as well with that thing as the guy next to me who'd spent like well over $1,000 on something all pretty and shiny. And, oh, he didn't like that very much.
Sure. You know, the guy who can handle his $150 or $300 surplus Lee Enfield 303 much better than the guy with the Accuracy International chassis Surgeon rifle that cost him $6,000, because the first guy goes to the range all the time and the second guy has all the money to buy it, but he thinks that by purchasing the toy, he can forego the training And that's always a fatal mistake.
Well said. Yes, that applies to a lot of things. If I throw enough money at something, I don't need skill. Well, sometimes you can get away with that, but not always. Certainly now, not you'll with find firearms.
That with cops, you mentioned that earlier, Michael, about cops having MP5s and all of these very exotic military weapons that they're getting for free. Well, I shouldn't say for free. They're getting taxpayer-subsidized weapons given to them by the Pentagon after the Pentagon has finished using them, or maybe they've got an overstock. And the Pentagon doesn't have an overstock.com per se, but they have an overstock for cockroaches.com. So they apply and they, they get that. A cockroach. I want that. I want that to become a meme, Michael, by the way. I want everybody, when they say the word cop, to say cockroach.
I'll get my guys on that.
Excellent. I like it. And yeah, I think they can have the HK MP5 is very sexy without a stock, but it's virtually useless without proper training. Now an HK MP5 with a stock, it takes a little bit of getting used to how it works and operating and such, but you can do it. But without a stock, you're not going to have much accuracy at all. It's like that sexy business of pistol grip shotguns with no full stock. They're Hollywood, but they're not very effective.
Yeah, you see that in movies a lot.
You cock them with one hand.
It's just...
Yeah, or I love it when they keep cocking them over and over again. Well, that's Hollywood firearms, isn't it? Yeah,
well, you know,
it's spring lead everywhere and not much else.
It's hoplophobic Hollywood who hates the private ownership of weapons when they're off screen. And you have all those bipedal budgies going all around the country saying, you know, people shouldn't own firearms and only the police and military should have firearms. You know, and I used to
say that, if you can believe it.
I'm completely about weapons ownership, but I do think that all cops should be disarmed.
Actually, I'd like to comment about the police and military only should have firearms. There's a gun club that my dad used to belong to where I'll just say a police force in Canada used to do their training.
And
I
walked in.
Lower down the food chain than that. But I walked into the place and wow. My joke was, I think the American Army practiced the invasion of Iraq in this thing. Because there's holes in the walls, the ceilings, there's chips out of the concrete floor, there is a window with a hole through it that they purposely left it there, right about the height that somebody walking, head height, if the average height person was walking outside. And again, that's where somebody was cleaning their gun, and it went off, which is just one of the most idiotic things I've ever heard in my life. I played with firearms for a bit. Well, I shouldn't say played. That's an entirely wrong thing to say because they're certainly not toys. I had them for a little while, ended up getting rid of them. It's just very legally difficult to do in Canada. But cleaning a gun, well, isn't the first thing you're going to do is make certain that it's unloaded?
Well, I think we're blessed in America that cockroaches, especially the larger the city, the more this tends to be the case, are notoriously poor marksmen and notoriously poor in their safe weapons handling.
Yeah, you know, a problem I have with movies is safe weapon handling. It's getting more common, but it used to be people running around with their finger on the trigger where it would be going off. But the real problem I have is when they... The military-trained guys shoot really well, except when it serves the story for them to miss a lot on the hero. We'll be back.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. And yes, we're broadcasting this message into space.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
It's a cold night in Wyoming. but we're going to warm your brain with some thoughts. So, Bill, are you there, Bill?
It is I.
It is you. So, cockroaches was a phrase you used. What do you think about that? What's that mean? Where'd you come up with that? Is that yours?
Well, I think that it's a Billism? Pretty universal. It is a Billism.
Yeah.
Sort of like the war to say Joseph Stalin.
Yeah.
If anybody pays attention to my blog, I found that over the past, and I'm breaking your tyranny rule here, I found that over the past few years, I've been probably writing a lot of essays on police brutality, abuse, violence, overstepping, overreach, and just madness in these United States. And I've just tried to come up with a thing that I use in Twitter where I focus on new brutality stories. And one of the terms I came up with was cockroaches. Now, here's what's even more interesting while we're on this subject. This is real quick. I went to Police One, which is like the number one police website that cops go to. If you go to Police One, you read the stories or you go on the forum, read the comments section. If you want to see how the mind of current U.S. constabulary works, that's where you're going to find it. And it's absolutely riveting, horrifying, and it'll make your head explode when you read it. Because they will rationalize any form of violence, that whether it's the application of a wood shampoo or hitting a young girl when she's at a riot or murdering that young homeless man in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And then, of course, the response to the protests against police brutality was more police brutality. So if your audience listeners get a chance to go to Police One, read the comments, it's gonna make your heart explode.
Yeah, and it's okay to bring up that kind of tyranny for a second, because it leads to a freedom fix, which is that you've come up with the term cockroaches. Is that for bad cops or any cops? Do you think there are good cops?
There's no such thing as a good cop. I think that it's the 98% of bad cops that give the 2% of good cops a bad name. And the reason I say that is twofold. Number one, most cops are bullies and cowards in one very obese body. And number two, if there's good cops there, why aren't they policing their ranks? Why aren't we hearing from them? Yeah. Why aren't they doing the internal affairs investigations? Why aren't they stepping out of that thin black and blue line and saying, you know, there's a lot of wrong stuff going on here and we need to pay attention to it and shine a light on it? And none of that is happening.
Yeah, cockroaches is a meme that should spread. And I asked you, I said, I've got a couple guys that make memes. I could turn them onto this. We could put your web address and my web address on it. And you said,
that'd be great.
You didn't care about the credit. Why?
Steal it. Because you know what? What you and I are doing, Michael, is sure, we have our own individual vanity to a certain extent, and we like to have people acknowledge that, wow, you write well or you speak well, whatever the case may be. But in the end, our end state is to give LibPar a chance. And if cockroaches, when it's not commended to me or to you, but it's just used and it has an effect to get us to LibPar, great, go with it. I don't care about the credit.
You know, I once said, when I was about 12, I said that one of my goals in my life was to write a joke or a saying that becomes worldwide and universal, and I didn't care if I got credit for it. It's kind of interesting that you're saying that, because that was like a goal of mine when I was a kid. I think
has it happened?
I don't know. Ask Mark.
What do you think, Mark?
Well, maybe not the entire world, but it's catching on. I do love your memes and sayings.
You used one back at me tonight. I can't remember which one it was, but a few minutes ago, you said something that I said a few times on shows like a year ago and hadn't thought about since then.
Huh. I don't even recall. There you go. It's embedded in my brain now.
So I'm looking at these Ukrainian handmade medieval type weapons that Bill just sent us a link to. That's kind of mind blowing. Maybe we should talk about that when we come back a little bit, because Bill is an expert on asymmetrical warfare, to the point where he's been paid as a consultant on that for a living and flown around the world in private jets with beautiful women putting dates in his mouth and fanning him with palm fronds, right?
Well, you saw my photo I sent you with me in the white shirt, right? And the scotch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in a Learjet on that photo.
Yeah, man. Asymmetrical warfare. Man, these you know, basically when they take guns away from people, people don't stop being violent or self-defensive. They just return to, you know, sticks and stones, which is pretty much what these weapons are. A lot of these look like halberds and morning stars from the medieval era made with modern things.
You know, I would urge you to put that on your site with this podcast, if you would. A link to the site.
I will.
That'd be great.
Yep, because not everybody can see what we're looking at. But basically, most of these weapons are some sort of stick with some sort of sharp thing at the end. You know, picture a baseball bat with a bunch of long nails driven through the end. That's pretty much what most of these weapons look like.
And if you watch what the Ukrainians have been doing, it's been quite interesting. And I think, Michael, you and I discussed this a couple fortnights ago where we were looking at this. And what happened is the cops didn't go to gun.
We're out.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Hold your morning stars tight. Don't let the cockroaches get you and sleep tight. We're not quite there to sleepy time yet. But this is Mr. Michael Dean on Michael Dean After Dark. And we are discussing, I believe it's asymmetrical warfare. Is that where you wanted to go, Bill and Mark?
As a matter of fact, I have a master's degree in that. You know, much like this Bill Nye, the science guy, he's got a degree in science. I actually have a graduate degree in asymmetrical warfare.
That sounds like for what that's worth. That sounds like almost like a doctorate in murder, but that could also be used to protect people from asymmetrical warfare, right?
Well, not only that, but if you understand how asymmetrical guerrilla warfare, what they call fourth generation warfare, and that kind of unconventional warfare works, if you're forced into that under revolutionary circumstances where all peaceful means have been exhausted, you'll want to have a martial IQ in that to fight the forces that you're laid against.
You're doing a talk on that at Porkfest, right?
As a matter of fact, I'm doing an entire half-day seminar on it.
Yeah, I'm going to be at Porkfest, and I'm gonna hang out with you, and I'm going to poke my head into your things. But just so you know, I've never done anything for 3 hours at one time in my life. So if you see me poke my head in and then poke my head back out the back of the room during that, don't be offended, because I can't listen to me talk for 3 hours, let alone sit in a room and listen to someone else talk for 3 hours.
I'm doing 3 different speeches on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then I'm doing the seminar on Saturday. So they're getting a lot of bang for their buck out of me.
Yeah. Yep. They're getting a lot of bang for their no bucks for me. I'm not getting anything, but I'm not gonna get into that. That's for other people to talk about. But yeah, I'm looking forward to being there, and I'm speaking. I'm doing a Q&A. I don't really do speeches well. I do really well with back and forth. So I'm gonna show a couple of my movies and do a Q&A after each one about DIY audio and video production. But
that surprises me because of your alacrity at doing radio programs. Which, and I know that you can do these and speak for an hour or 2 hours.
Yeah, but there's always someone else there. I've done 330 episodes of the Freedom Fiends. I've done about 16 episodes of this show. I had podcasts before that. There's not a single one that's just me talking without a script. None of them. I don't do it. And the only ones that are just me talking is me reading a book I spent a year writing and proofreading. So it's I don't do it, man. It's kind of, but here's my thing about DIY audio and video production. It's asymmetrical information warfare, because You know, the cocaine budget on any Hollywood movie is more than I'll ever spend on audio production and video production in my life. But I hope to change the world with what I do, and I try.
Well, I think it's going to happen. And I enjoy questions and answers for two reasons. Number one, I'm able to fill in any blank spots after a speech that I've given that people have questions about. But number two, it's always a challenge because you're always going to have somebody in the audience who's going to try to play stump the chump with you. So it's something.
Yeah, but
you
just pull out your revolver, your pearl handled revolver, and shoot them, right?
No, because I'm not the government.
I'm kidding. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I would rather deal with stump the chump than do something prepared. I don't know. I just it sounds like a lack of preparation and like it's lazy to me. I mean, to some people, but it's not at all. I think it's a lot more challenging to do. You don't know what people are going to ask and you have to respond on the fly. And it's a lot more lively to me, for me to do it. Now, I've heard people giving relatively planned out speeches before that have just been drop dead stunning. But I'm not that guy, man. I don't do that. I have no fear of getting up in front of a crowd. I have no problem doing it, but I just don't like doing the prepared speech thing. I don't even like having notes.
Sure.
I'm jazz, man. I'm jazz, not classical.
Well, I have very limited notes. Usually it's an index card for an hour speech.
I usually just – all I do – the only written prep I ever do is when I'm speaking outside of the U.S. in Europe, in places where English is not the first language, I write on the back of my left hand, speak slower. Kind of like Nikki Darling when she does this show. We used a picture of this on the podcast page for it. Under her taped on her microphone is a sign that says "Don't cuss." All right, asymmetrical warfare. Go speak.
So what it all comes down to is anything that doesn't involve artillery, tanks, navies. In other words, doesn't involve sophisticated first, second, third world nations. Armies per se. It involves guerrilla warfare. It involves non-state actors. It involves propaganda. It involves police confrontations. All those kind of things in which you would imagine a citizen army or a citizen militia participating in. Whether it's the hoary cliches that you see in that movie, The Patriot, or stories of the Spanish Civil War, or of the 350-plus guerrilla conflicts that have taken place throughout the 20th century. I mean, we can go back. Alexander did not defeat the Afghans because of irregular warfare. Napoleon was defeated not because of Wellington in 1814. He was defeated because of Spanish and French guerrillas preying on his lines of communications, to which he had to devote 4/5 of his total order of battle and troops to protect. So whenever you have full-on warfare, you're going to have conventional operations. But what we're talking about is unconventional operations. The Russians can defeat the Ukraine, for instance, in a conventional fashion in a matter of a month. They can't defeat the Ukrainians if a guerrilla or unconventional warfare construct comes into play, because then they're going to be having to devote years in what is popularly called long wars, which is what they're called, as we discover in Afghanistan and Iraq, where the U.S. government and the Europeans have been prosecuting a conflict in which they are not winning. They're at not only a strategic stalemate, but a defeat.
What percentage of the population of Northern Ireland are members of the IRA?
It'd probably be less than 1%. But when we use that, what we do is we say, how many trigger pullers are there? How many auxiliaries are there? How much mass-based support do they have?
There's a lot of support.
There's a whole lot of support, and that could be 50%.
Yeah.
But here's a startling number, is that when you look at the total IRA paramilitary forces and trigger pullers, actual trigger pullers, riflemen, pistolmen, and bomb makers, you have 500 to 600 at any one time, against which the United Kingdom and the Northern Ireland Constabulary and the RUC and such, the Royal Ulster Constabulary, they had a strength of up to 51,000 troops and police arrayed against those 500 to 700 paramilitaries. And those 500 to 700 paramilitaries were never rooted out. If you look at what happened in Omagh, where a shopping center was hit by a real IRA terrorist bomb in, I think it was 2001, not only did they not prosecute the killers, but England protected the identities of the killers in the name of peace with Sinn Féin.
Yeah, they basically gave the killers representatives representation in their Congress.
Bobby Sands won from the prison before he died. He won a seat in Parliament.
Yep.
And Bobby Sands' birthday was 2 weeks ago, I think.
See, you don't know about the fiends and the memes yet. Somebody just sent – Lusander Fiend just sent a meme based on something you said on the show 5 minutes ago before you even said cockroach. So there's a new meme that says the 98% of bad cops give a bad name to the 2% of good cops. Bill Buport, ZeroGov.com, FreedomFiends.com, and it's a cop beating a guy bloody. And that's on the internets now. You come on here, you say stuff, and it's on the interwebs like that, man. We have the live tweeting and creation of the memes. It's pretty cool.
I love the interwebs.
I do, so too.
I guess that would be my 4 minute distillation of my half day seminar I'm going to conduct at Porkfest.
Mark, speak.
Asymmetrical warfare. Yeah, I remember when 9/11 happened, and well, I'm a little embarrassed and a little bit ashamed of myself to say this, but I got swept up in this too. It's like, well, geez, yeah, I got to go over there and pound them and bomb them back to the Stone Age. Fortunately, though, I think I sobered up fairly quickly. I thought, wait a minute, Afghanistan. Isn't that where the Soviet Union spanked?
Did you sober up while standing in line to go sign up for the Canadian military?
No, not hardly. No,
what
no,
am I doing?
No, but I just took a moment and thought about it, and I thought, hang on, Afghanistan, isn't that the place where the Soviet Union had their butts handed to them? I mean, the British have tried it. Maybe they call Afghanistan the graveyard of empires. And the first thought I'd had, before I ever thought of right or wrong of it or anything else, I just thought, wait a minute, Afghanistan has been absolutely invaded and people have tried to trample on them and they've left with their tails between their legs every time. Does nobody pick up a history book? Not that I'm a history major by any means.
Even Alexander got his butt handed to him.
They hire people like Bill to read the history books for them, but then don't really listen to him. They just want to know. They just want to hear about the military.
They don't listen to me.
They just want to hear about the warfare part of it, not the should you do the warfare part of it.
Well, you know what? Templar in Malaysia in the 1950s, General Templar, who had an interesting experience during World War II, but that's for another show. He's the one who said that 80% of the business of fighting an insurgency is political, economic, and diplomatic, and 20% is military. The military in successful counterinsurgency is always the junior partner.
I feel like the state in America and elsewhere is losing a bit of the ground of the propaganda war because of the internet. And I'm not talking about like people in the Middle East writing blogs on how to make a bomb in the kitchen of your mom. I'm talking about just people saying, you know, war, endless war is not a good idea. And that's coming from the right, the left, the middle, and the non. You know, there's so many things out there. I mean, maybe my Twitter feed is not indicative of a cross-section of society, but I've never seen so much anti-war sentiment since the 60s.
I wonder because since 2008, all this president has done is expand this mad war that we've been in with the world since 2001. And now what we have is we have the left just silent. Just
yeah, but you know who's not silent is the European left. They don't like Obama. They were really hopeful when he got in. They thought he was going to be the new JFK and the cool, hip black guy you'd want to have a beer with and the anti-Bush. And they're not buying it. He spoke in The Hague recently and got no applause. Like there were crickets and he looked embarrassed. And, you know, my comment that got memed around was, they're not applauding because they're too busy thinking we're going to get you back here for a trial in a few years. But – you know, they're not buying it. Young people in Europe.
You know what? We can only dream about a trial. I think that's a great idea, Michael. And, you know, you and I have talked about the terrors of strategic bombing and such. And I think that violation of the unconventional warfare laws, the international Hague and Geneva Conventions, it's been done by the U.S. since time immemorial.
We'll be back on the Freedom Fiends for the final segment and the Hague war trial in 5 minutes of Barack Obama after this trip to the market.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Ah, ah.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support only a phone call away 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
This is Michael Dean. It's Michael Dean After Dark, and this would normally be where we would do our tweak in review, our redemption in the third act, our denouement, as the French would say. Denouement. Bill Buford's kind of French. Do you say denouement?
Denouement.
Denouement, yeah. Denouement.
You have to do it correctly.
I don't have to do it correctly. People always say that. Well, you have to pick a side. That's how that Jeffrey Tucker article left. It ended. Like, you have to decide. Are you this way or the other way? And Neiman and I were, and Paul Bonneau were all like, we don't have to decide. That's, you can't collectivize us as libertarians, Mr. Libertarian with a bow tie. He's a
Stop
good guy.
Impressing
us. He's a good guy, but for someone that writes really accurately and precisely, that was like the least accurate and precise article I'd ever read, his libertarian brutalism thing. So we're going to go to the phones here. We got someone named Downtown Phil calling from Hollywood, California. I used to live in Hollywood or a very couple miles away from it in L.A. So Downtown Phil, are you there?
I am. How are you guys tonight?
Good, good.
Peachy.
What do you do for a living, Phil?
I work in the movie industry. I called a couple of weeks ago. We talked about editing systems and whatnot.
That's right. That's right. So what's up? What's on your mind? You got we got 5 minutes here.
Redemption in the third act. I was thinking about food tonight because I just got off set and I was hungry and I wanted to talk about food. And I think that the redemption in the third act can be that the vast majority of food, the economy that takes place in the world, is largely unsubsidized, largely although many regulations confine and constrain the way we can make food and sell it. A lot of it, there's enough food to go around, and there's no not many direct subsidies to do that.
I'll tell you this. I don't miss a lot about living in L.A., but I'm almost ready to, like, PayPal you $20 and have you go down to Le Seven Mares on Sunset and get me a fish taco and like email it to me. I miss that place.
My friend tried to do that with a burrito. He sent it to London and he came back to him 3 months later and it was a bit foul inside the box.
Well, people actually do that. They used to do it with the White Castle burgers from D.C. and then White Castle started actually offering them in supermarkets frozen, like the little sliders. They're like 2 ounce hamburgers.
Yeah. Nasty.
Not as good as the real thing, but yeah. I love food, man, and the food's gotten, in L.A., the food's gotten so good in the last 10 years, it's so much better than it used to be, and it's largely because people have innovated in L.A. with the food trucks.
Yeah, man, there's food, there's roach coaches in L.A. that I would walk around, I would walk past, like, a fine French restaurant to go to some of those roach coaches.
Well, there's two kinds. So there's roach coaches that serve food, and there's cockroach coaches.
Well, cops don't pay at the roach coaches. They basically, like, intimidate them. What they're saying is, if you don't give us free food, they're always like, oh, it's free for you, officer, no problem. But what that means is the cops are basically saying, if you don't give us free food, we're not going to respond when someone's doing something to you and we're nearby.
And they need the food because they're all in a race to exceed their height by their girth.
So, Phil, what else is up, Phil, besides food?
Not much, man. The food is, I love to cook, and I think that one of the things that I discovered when I discovered freedom and liberty was it was important to take care of myself and my body, and it led to a better lifestyle, a more healthy lifestyle. I've lost a lot of weight, and I feel better. I feel good, man. I think it's important.
Cool, man. You should, and that takes a lot of knowledge and understanding, and Bill's really big on that. I'm not so big on it. I'm going to eat what's put before me, boy. But you should also put a little bit of thought into, if you're going to call in a lot, get the microphone that all our co-hosts use. Go to michaeldeen.com, and there's a link over on the right with a really good microphone. It's about $60, and if you Skype in with that, you're going to sound about 10 times better. Because I like it when you call in, but I wish you called. You sounded better.
I will. I'll do that next time. I was thinking about that today. I'm just on the freeway sitting home, and I wanted to sneak in before it ended and speak to you. And Bill Buford, I'm a big fan of yours, and Zero Gov is amazing. So thanks for writing such interesting articles.
Well, thank you for that. I really appreciate your cordial greetings for that.
Hey, you know what?
Yeah, great.
You know what you can try next time, Phil, when you're in your car?
What's that?
Install Skype on your phone, and next time use the same phone, but Skype in to Kitty Feet One. Send me a friend request this week, and next week call in sometime on at Kitty Feet, KittyFeet, like the feet of a cat, and then the number one. I want to try and then compare them. You calling in on the phone versus you calling in on the same phone over Skype. It's going to sound better.
I'll do that. I'll try it next week, and I'd love to call again, and I'll let you guys close the show out. I don't want to take all the time up, and thanks for taking my call tonight, guys.
Thanks, man. Thank you for your call, Phil.
Thanks.
Bye.
Ciao.
Ciao. Ciao, Bella. Ciao, Bella. Ciao, Bello. There you go. Yeah. So, Bill, food.
Thank you.
Here we go.
There it is. Why we get... Night.
Before we invented MeowBit, viewing dot bit... viewing dot bit... viewing dot bit... viewing dot bit viewing dot bit viewing dot bit